I'm going to ask you to take and turn your Bibles to Micah chapter 6. Micah 6, verse number 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed me, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? What does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? My message deals with the subject, what does God require of us? What does God require of us? Micah raises a question. The question is, what does the Lord require of us? Micah answers his own question, and he makes some very important points. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. There's no excuse for us not to understand what God requires. Thank God he just didn't ask the question and stop right there and leave us in confusion and not know what God requires of us. But thank God he answers the question. Here's what we're supposed to do. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. As simple as these three requirements may be, the sad reality is that many professing Christians have a pretty poor record at how well they meet these three requirements. We've been told what is good here. God tells us what he requires. The Lord is looking for three qualities in my life. The Lord is looking over this audience and he's looking to see if you have these three qualities in your life. The first thing God said, do justly. Do justly. Proverbs 21:3 says, and to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. There's an old story about a self-employed painter who had hit hard times in his life. There was very little work in the area in which he lived, so he was asked to bid on painting the local church, and he figured it a little too closely to the bottom line. And when he got to the end of the job, or almost to the end of the job, he realized that his estimate was so low that he was never going to make a profit at all. Feeling desperate, he decided to water down the paint. And as the job was nearly finished, the sky began to grow dark, and it was not long before a raging thunderstorm washed the fresh paint completely off of the church building. He thought to himself, this must be an act of God. And he got down on his knees and looking up to heaven, he prayed, oh God, I'm sorry. How can I make this right? And there was a deep voice came out of heaven and said, my son, repaint and thin no more. Do justly. Do what's right. Deuteronomy 1:17, you shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. And you should not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God, and the cause that's too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. The Bible tells us in Micah, the 3rd chapter, in verse number 11, in the heads thereof, judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is the Lord not among us? None evil can come upon us. Do justly. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter and verse number 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Recompense, listen friend, I'm talking about do justly. Recompense to no man evil for evil. You know what that means? You know what recompense evil for evil means? What he done to me is not right, so I'm gonna make it right. What she done to me is not right, so I'm gonna make it right. Friend, just don't think about justice or wish justice or want justice. God tells us in his word, here is a requirement, do justice. This is an action. It's something that we got to live out in our life. We should be a people to do justice. But what does it mean to do justice? Friend, to do what's fair, to do what's just to your neighbors, even to your enemies. In other words, Micah is calling us to treat everyone we meet fairly. That's what God requires of me, and that's what God requires of you. We tend to think of justice primarily as when you punish the bad guys, but more often I believe in the scriptures, justice makes sure that those who are neglected are treated fairly. The Bible talks about that in the book of Psalms, chapter 82 and verse number 3. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. The issue with justice is how those who have power and privilege treat those who do not have power and privilege. Act justly. Somebody said, I don't know what that means. It means do what is right in every situation. It does not mean, amen, talking about justice or to get other people to act justly. It means do the right thing yourself. You can't control how the other person does. You can't control whether they do what's just and what's right, but I can control what I do, and you can control what you do. Oftentimes, we focus on what other people ought to do and how other people ought to treat us and how other people ought to treat different ones and how they need to act justly and how they need to act rightly. God calls us to inspect our own lives tonight and do that which is right. Sometimes what is right is not easy. Sometimes what is right is not desirable. Sometimes to do the right thing, you have to put outside, my friend, our own desires and not think about others, but think about ourselves. And not think about ourselves, but think about others. In Romans 12 and verse number 3, he said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to how God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The next thing that God said, love mercy. Think about that. God said this is the requirement. Love mercy. Show kindness. Be loyal. Love. Love or affection that is steadfast, to show compassionate warm-heartedness towards mankind. Friend, the Bible teaches this. Love mercy. The Bible says in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You might need mercy tomorrow, so you better show mercy. Friend, the word can also mean compassion to the miserable. Not only treat others fairly, but show mercy to other individuals. Those who came to Jesus, they often ask Jesus for mercy. Have mercy on us. Now, I want you to notice something here. He said, show mercy. So, to show mercy, to love mercy, it's one thing to show mercy, but he said, love mercy. Some people do things because they have to, but the Bible says, love mercy. There's a difference in showing mercy and loving mercy. How different our outlook on life would be if we sought opportunities to show mercy to individuals. I'll ask you a question. How merciful has God been to you? Has God been merciful to you? I can raise my hand both before I was saved and since I've been saved. God has been merciful. Can I get a witness? God has been merciful. Friend, we ought to show others the mercy that we have received. A lot of folks have received a lot of mercy in their life, amen, but when it comes to showing another individual mercy, it's a different story. Paul refers to him as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort. Friend, when we think about mercy, we think about God. The Bible says in Psalms 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. What is plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. I'm glad that God has been merciful to me. Amen. And so our God is a merciful, kind, and faithful God. Amen. In every step of our walk through life, God's been merciful to us. And now he said, here's the requirement. Love mercy. Amen. Too many people are so quick. Seem like they even enjoy cutting people off, not showing any mercy. You knew better. Friend, the Bible don't teach that. The Bible says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go to such a one and how the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, we go with the attitude, this could be me. I could have been the one. I could have fallen. I could have been the one. Amen. We don't go to people with the attitude, well, if you would have listened to me, that would have never. No, that's not going to people in the spirit of meekness. Amen. To put it another way, love kindness means that I'll always go the extra mile to care for others because I have made a commitment to God to do so. I'll always go the extra mile in showing kindness and mercy because I made a promise God to do so. To love kindness means, amen, to be good to others even when they don't deserve it. Amen. Just like God was good to us when we didn't deserve it, we got to be good to other people even when they don't deserve it. Friend, did you deserve God's mercy? Did you deserve God's grace? Did you deserve God's love? No, none of us deserved the mercy of God. We didn't deserve the grace of God. And I wish that I could tell you that just getting by with God is sufficient, just trying to do the very minimum. And I wish I could tell you that just doing the absolute minimum would be enough. And I think we've all had times in our lives when we tried to do the minimum in our spiritual journey or in our church life. And friend, it may be easier to live that way, but it's not very satisfying, it's not fulfilling, and it's not effective, and it very seldom, if ever, makes a difference in the world. Friend, you can probably think of a store, you can probably think of a restaurant somewhere that provides a service, amen, but they never go beyond what's expected. They do not deliver quality customer service, amen. They just do enough to get by. They just do enough to keep the doors of the restaurant open. And when we find a place that goes beyond, that does a little extra, you know what we'll do? We appreciate it. We recognize it. And we respond to it, don't we? Amen. And almost all of us have a restaurant or a business that we patronize because they go the extra mile. We appreciate the quality custom care. Amen. When was the last time you got excited about doing business at a place that doesn't go the extra mile, that just does the bare minimum? Friend, we don't serve a God of bare minimum. Amen. Friend, we serve a covenant-keeping God. We serve a God who's been promised to be faithful, and he has been faithful. Amen. He's done more than what he said in the Word of God. A God who loves us with kindness. A God who loves us with mercy. And you know what he does in my life? He exceeds my expectations. Amen. And I tell you, he defies what we deserve, and that surprises us in his mercy more times than we want to admit. So what about us? Show mercy. Amen. That's the kind of love that God has called us to show around this world. And friend, when we become people who go the extra mile and showing kindness and showing mercy and extending love to people who don't deserve it, guess what? The world is going to take notice. The people on the job is going to take notice. The people in your family is going to take notice. Now, the next thing that God said to do, walk humbly with the Lord. Walk humbly with the Lord. Stay humble. Be humble. It's the humble heart and spirit that greatly pleases God. To walk humbly with God is to see the nothingness of ourself and the everythingness of God. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Amen. If you think you're something when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. Paul said he was not anything. He said, but it's God that giveth the increase. Amen. You know what? We shouldn't be going around lifting ourselves up, right? We shouldn't be bragging on ourselves. If anything turns me off is to hear someone brag about themselves. In fact, that's wrong. It's wrong to brag on yourself. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips. And somebody said, but if I don't tell people what I did, well, they'll never know. They don't need to know. If God wants people to know, he'll expose it. The Bible said, what we do secretly, God will reward us openly. The humble person is not one who thinks mainly of himself. Someone said humility is that grace that when you know you have it, you've lost it. By walking humbly with God, we are more likely to keep proper balance in the demands to do justly and love mercy. How do we keep humility in a culture that puts such high value on having it all, being it all, and climbing the ladder of success? How can you still be humble in such situations? Humility with others doesn't happen by reading self-help books. Rather, it comes as a direct result of living in an humble relationship with God. Friend, we must be very careful as the people of God to live the way that God has ordained that we should live, to live humbly, to live faithfully, and to live obediently to our Father which is in heaven. Jesus said that the greatest person in the kingdom of God was a person that was humble like a little child. That's the greatest person in the kingdom of God. Humility is sacrificing yourself and your concerns to listen and respond to the needs of others and the desires of God. Humility is a part of the art of listening when you forget yourself for a moment, actually listening to what God wants you to know. The key to worshiping God is to sacrifice your own desires, your own busyness of mind, in order to give your attention to God and your fellow human beings. To walk humbly with God is to sacrifice the ego, self-centeredness, your comfort, your pleasure, in order to focus on the greater good. The Bible says in James 4:10, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Friend, you won't have any problem being obedient and submitting to a godly pastor if you're walking humbly before God. Somebody said, I tell you right now, if this is only three things I got to do, I got it made. Because I can do these three things. Because he didn't say nothing about the standard. And he just said, do these three things. Love mercy, do justly, walk humbly before God. I can do those three things. Don't get ahead of yourself. When you walk humbly before God, whatever he asks you to do in this book, you'll be willing to do it. The commandments of God is not grievous to the person that's walking humbly before God. It's when we get lifted up in pride. It's when we begin to think too much of ourselves. When pride takes a hold, then we start nitpicking. Why do I got to do this? And why do I got to do that? And I don't think I ought to have to do this. And I don't think I, and I don't see why. No, friend, that's because we're not walking humbly before God. The Lord wants a heart that's right towards him. God first requires repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be a sinner here tonight. You might say, well, I'm just going to start doing these three things. But you can't do those three things till you first are born again, till you're right with God. Then you start applying these things to your heart and life. So the first requirement is being saved, getting right with God, repentance. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Here's what you need to do before you need to start applying these other three things. Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Yes, Jesus said, you must be born again. That's the first step. How does that come about? Well, The Philippian jailer asked the same question in Acts 16:31, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." How is it that an individual can be saved? Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then once that happens, then we got three things that God requires. Amen. These three things that the Lord requires, and I tell you, friend, I love this verse, don't you? Micah 6:8. These three things will never steer you in the wrong direction. These three things are so easy to remember: do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before the Lord. The truth of these three things is so profound. So my question to you tonight, are you doing what the Lord requires of you? This is not multiple choice. These three things are not take it or leave it. These are definitely requirements for a Christian. Have you done justly by obeying the gospel of Christ? Do you love mercy demonstrated by accepting God's mercy that he offered to you through Jesus Christ? I ask you the question tonight, are you walking humbly with your God by living a dedicated life? Somebody said, "Well, I'm not living a dedicated life, but I'm walking humbly before God." No, you can't do one without doing the other. He's calling on us to live out these three traits in our lives. But you know what? I think there's too many people around the church of God that are not really living out these three things in their life. Treating one another fairly. Loving one another faithfully. Doing the things that God desires that we should do is merely a natural outflow of a changed life. So maybe the question that we should ask ourselves, can I see the evidence of life-changing faith in my life? Do I harbor resentment and unforgiveness in my heart? Do I have bitterness in my heart towards some individual? There's people that do not understand. I don't know if I'm bitter or not. I don't know if I have unforgiveness or not. This terrible thing has happened in my life, and maybe I am bitter. I don't know. I'd like to know if I'm bitter. I would like to know if there's unforgiveness. And the best way I know to illustrate it, being a butcher, I've cut my hands up pretty good over the years. Several times I had to go get stitches, and I've had my fingers to get infected and have to soak them in Epsom salt. And when they're infected and they got stitches because you've had to continue to work, oh, if you just barely bump it, it's so painful because it's infected. And that's the way it is when you get bitter. You're touchy. When you got an infected finger, you got your mind on it all the time. You're trying to protect it. You don't want to bump it. When things first happen in your life, when tragedy comes, and disappointments comes, and hurts comes, it's on your mind all the time. But when you forgive, and when the bitterness is gone, when the infection is gone, there's nothing left but a scar. I've got a lot of scars on my hands. but it's not infected. It don't hurt. I don't dwell on it. If you dwell on it, it's a good sign that you're bitter. Say amen right there. That's right. Once you really forgive someone, once you really get that infection and that pus out of that finger, that hand, there's just a scar. You'll never come to a time in life where you won't remember what happened, but it don't affect you like it did years ago. I want every one of you to know this can be your experience. Whatever has happened in your life can be a harmless scar if you'll respond to the grace that God has. I ask you the question, do you extend mercy and grace to others just as God has extended mercy and grace to you? That's what the Bible teaches us to do. And when I think, maybe you're different than me, but when I think how much mercy and grace God has given me, I can't withhold it from my brother or my sister. Are you willing to do whatever is necessary to be at peace one with another as far as you're concerned? What God desires for us, what God demands of us, is heartfelt obedience and a love to Him and a love to each other. Where we have failed to do that, we need to humbly come before God and pray for change. God is not interested in our meaningly worship, but rather desires a humble, loving, obedient people to be His church. That's what God wants. A loving, obedient people to be His church. And my question to you, are you willing to be that people? A loving, obedient people. May we in all earnestness do what the Lord requires of us. If your neighbor summed up your life, what would he say of you? If God summed up your life, what would he say of you? Would the people you work with, the people at school, the people at college, the people in your neighborhood, the people in your family, when they look at you, do they say in their mind, there's a man, there's a woman that does justly? That individual loves mercy. And if anybody ever walked humbly before God, I believe that man, that woman, walks humbly before God. Is that what people say about us? On the job, school, our family, friends, that person does what's right. No matter what happens, they do what's right. They show mercy. They love mercy. Yes, they walk humbly before God. How about you? I'm not here to wound you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to make you feel bad. But I want us to get help from God. Amen. And if we're coming short in some of these areas, let's find a place to pray. And right here's a good place. Say, Lord, I want to do what's required of me. Not only do what's required of me, as the book of Philemon says, do more than God says. Amen. Go the extra mile.